All right, so last week we started a new series. Do you guys remember what it was? Coming into Focus, yeah, we like saw these little things that were blurry, and then Megan put a little video together for us, and it like came into focus. And why are we calling it Coming into Focus? What book are we studying? Colossians. And do you remember what Colossians is going to tell us? Should be an easy question. I just gave you the answer. Yeah, helping us get into focus in our view of who God is and where we fit in this big crazy world. All right, so open up to Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9 tonight. As you guys open up there, I need a helper. Where's a helper? You help a lot. I love you, but I'm going to let someone else have a little bit of love too. Yeah, Johnny, come on, dude. We're not going to throw. No, you're not going to get wet again. Oh, you help me a lot too, but that's cool. All right. I hope I don't. No, you don't have to follow me. I'm trying not to buzz. Okay. Whoops. All right, Johnny, I got a piece of candy. You stand over here. Stand over here. Do you want this piece? It's Twix. It's a little mini Twix, okay? Now, here's the deal. I'm going to give you a reward if you can do something that I want you to do. All right? Are you in agreement here? Agreement? You're willing to do this. Here's the one thing. I'm not going to tell you what it is I want you to do. You just have to figure it out. All right? So, ready? When I say go, you just try to figure it out. If you get it, you get the award. Ready? Go.
Come here.
No, I definitely don't want that. That's not it. No, stay up here. We're not done, Johnny. Figure it out. Go ahead.
But I don't know.
Well, what do you do when you don't know?
I asked.
Oh, okay.
So what am I supposed to do?
I would like you to take this Twix and hand it to somebody of your choice in the audience.
Raise your hand.
Good. Ah, and because you, I promised you a reward, so stay there. All right, so because you did that, Johnny, I need you to answer a question. What was it like when you had no idea what I wanted you to do?
Confusing.
Confusing, right? Like you had no idea. But how did you solve that?
I asked.
You asked. Pretty simple, honest answer. Okay, so because you did that, I have some Starburst. You guys like Starburst? Anybody like Starburst? Do you like Starburst? All right, so let's see if you can just on your own figure out this time what I want you to do.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have no idea.
Johnny, I need a higher subject. Not the hug. Have you learned from past experience, maybe? So by this point, you kind of figured, oh, Johnny, you're so smart.
A girl.
Dude, I like your shorts.
Oh, you're figuring it out, but don't leave yet because you're doing so well, man. I'm looking. Stay right there. Okay. You just get to keep this one because you're awesome. Just keep it. Good job. Yeah. No, it's just full of chocolates and awesomeness. Okay, that one's all full of it. You don't have to give those out. You can actually keep those. Oh, look at all these people. All right, hand them out later. Now go sit so I can keep going. Now here's the deal. Very simple. Almost like, hey, you're patronizing us, Rob. What are you doing? We understand this concept. Well, here's the deal. Last week we talked in the first couple verses. Are you ready? We talked in the first couple verses of this book about the gospel and how the gospel changes our picture of the world and of life and gives us a new perspective. It should radically change you. 180 degrees so you see things differently. Now, if that's true, we also saw that God has a plan for every single one of us. He called Paul to be an apostle. He called him to be an apostle and said, this is what I want you to do. He appointed him. And we're like, hey, all of you guys have a perfect plan in your life. And half of you looked at me and you're like, really? What is it? God's got a plan for me? Like, I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up and where I'm going to go to school and who I'm going to marry and how many kids I'm going to have and this whole deal. Like, there's so many questions I still don't know. What is this great plan that God has for me? I have no idea. So how is it that he's going to plan? So this week, what we're looking at here, the next couple verses, Paul's going to talk about it. He's going to say, well, let me tell you what it is God has for you. And so as you sit there and you're like, Rob, I just don't know. Here's what I want you to do. You remembered what Johnny did. He asked. It was a simple solution. Our God is so good to us that he doesn't go, hey, Caitlin, I want you to figure out what I want for you, and you just try it. I'm not going to tell you. Just go try to trial and error, see if you can figure out within your short span of a life what it is I want of you. That'd be pretty mean. Because as you can see, Johnny didn't even know how to get a piece of candy. How are we supposed to figure out life? Well, good thing that God doesn't do that to us. God looks at us and says, hey, just ask. I'm going to tell you what my will is. I'm going to tell you how you can please me, how you can live for me. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is I want. God was that good to us. And so Paul's going to highlight that with us in these next couple verses, 9 to 14. If you guys will open there, I'm going to read it to you real quick. It says, and so, talking about everything he just talked to us about the gospel, from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of what? Of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You're like, whew, that's a mouthful. Paul uses some big words and some pretty long phrases, so we're going to have to go back and kind of dig into this thing and see what he's saying here. So look at verses, just verse 9 right now. Look at those first couple words. And so, because of this gospel, from the day we heard that you've accepted the gospel and you were changed, look what they did. We've not ceased to pray for you. I haven't stopped praying for you. Why? Why would Paul still to this day be praying for them? They've accepted Christ, you know, like, so what is it that Paul is actually praying here? Any thoughts? Yeah. Just read the next couple verses. He tells us right there. He's like, this is what I'm praying for you. And so the rest of this passage is basically the prayer that he's praying over these people. And you said it, that you figure out what it is God wants for you. What it is God's asking of you. You've accepted Christ. Now, what is it that God wants? And that's Paul's prayer. Now, my question for you is, do you pray that for yourself? You've accepted Christ, but sometimes we accept Jesus and then we're getting like lost. Like, I don't know what God wants for me, so I'm just going to sit in this stall pattern and do nothing with my life because I really don't know. I don't even know how to figure it out. So I'm just going to kind of hope something happens here and just kind of do my thing. Or have you asked God? Have you done what Johnny did and said, Lord, tell me. Like, tell me what your will is. Let me know what I'm supposed to be doing. And my other question is this, do you pray that over the other people in your life? Paul saw these people get saved and he loves them. And so you know what he does? He begs God that he show these people what the next step is so that they could see his will and really understand who he is. Do you pray for the people around you in your C groups? Do you pray for your brothers and sisters, your own family, your mom and your dad? Do you pray for your pastors that way? Your Sunday school teachers? You're surrounded by people that know Christ that need you to pray this over them. I hope you know we pray this over you. I pray for you guys. I love you and I pray for you because I want you to know the will of God. That's why us leaders come here on Wednesday nights, because we care enough that you would know this will of God that Paul is talking about. So here's what I want to do. We talk about it too much and we don't do it anywhere near enough. So I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to get in groups with about 3 or 4 people around you. Keep the group small and just go right into it. No prayer request time. Just get together. And I want you to pray that prayer over the other people in your group. Pray that God would show those people in your group how to grow more like him. All right, and then once the music stops, I'm going to finish us in prayer and we're going to keep rolling with the sermon. Okay, so ready? Break up in groups. Father, we love you, and God, I just ask that as we approach your word in these next couple minutes, that you show us who you are. God, that we come to know you better so that we can be more like you. God, I pray for every person that's gathered here tonight, Lord, as we're in our circles just praying over each other. God, it's because we want to be more like you. And Lord, I do pray that every one of us can leave here tonight being able to say that we saw you tonight, that we heard from you tonight. And give us a desire in our hearts to say, Jesus, help us live like you would live. Help us to grow to be just like your Son. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can come on back over. Hey, Isaac. All right. So after that phrase in verse 9, he says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, which we just did for each other. Look what he says next. And here it is. Here's the prayer. Asking this, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. So Paul's desiring that these people know what God's will is. Just like we talked about last week, you're like, what am I supposed to do? You know that the details don't really matter that much? Like what your job's going to be isn't that important as sometimes we think it is. Where you live, where you go, what you study, where you go to school, all those awesome questions that kind of come into play don't necessarily matter as much as something more important. And that's what Paul's asking about tonight. He's asking God that we see what His will is. Not necessarily the details behind the whole thing, but something way more important. Because if we understand what His actual will is, all those details will flow correctly out of it. Because we'll already be becoming more like God. And as we become more like God, we'll start to live like Him. And our choices will be like God would choose for us. And so here's the deal. When He says, let them know the knowledge of your will, we already know this. It's not like we have to go, hey God, what are all the details? Because He's already told us. Do you guys remember when Jesus was, we studied the gospel life and we heard Jesus talk a few times. One of the things that He said was, I'm going to summarize this whole law for you. And in two statements, I'm going to summarize this up. Do you guys remember what those two statements were? How does Jesus summarize the whole law? Love God with what? Oh, your heart. Yeah. What about the next one? Love your neighbor. Love other people. Just like you'd love yourself. And then Jesus, as He's leaving, He gives us this command. You remember what it was? As He's ascending into heaven, He tells His disciples to do something. Spread the gospel. Yeah, go into all the world. You're like, hey, there's our mission statement again. Absolutely. Why is it our mission statement? Because it's what we're told to do. Love God, love people, and go in the world. What's the will of God? It's that you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That you love other people like you'd love your own self. You'd share the gospel. If you're doing those things, if you know those things, you know the will of God for your life. And as you love Him with everything that you are, your decisions start to resemble that love. So the decisions I make will be based on my love for God. The decisions I make will be based on my love for people. Are you going to go up to someone you love and smack them in the face and hate on them and yell at them and be mean and lie to them? Are you going to do those things to someone you love? No, you're laughing. You're like, that's ridiculous. Absolutely, it's ridiculous because you love them. So as you love people well, you start to treat people the way God would treat them. As you love God well, you start to make decisions the way God would have you make those decisions. And He takes care of the details because He's that big and strong. The most important thing that you know about this will is that He wants you to love Him and others well and that you share His word. We've got it. He was good enough to tell us that. So as you sit there and you're like, I don't know what His will is. No, you do. You already do. So now the choice is, will you obey or not? Well, look what He says next. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Who can tell me what the difference between wisdom and knowledge is? They're different. What's the difference there? Yeah, absolutely. What else?
You can get as much knowledge as you want, but wisdom is experience.
Doing it, right? You take that knowledge that you have and you apply it. That's wisdom. And so you can have all the knowledge in the world. You can know everything there is to know about God and His will. But if you don't actually take the step to apply it, to obey His truth, then you won't really intimately know what He wants for you. And so what this says here is, don't just know God and know about His will. You know you're supposed to love God. You know you're supposed to love people. You know you're supposed to share the gospel. You hear it all the time. But the difference between that and spiritual wisdom is that you actually apply it to your life. Are you really loving Him? Are you really loving others? Are you really sharing the gospel? Or is it just something you know because you go to church and you've heard it before? And I like that it says that it's spiritual wisdom and understanding because you're like, that's really hard to do. Yeah, it is. On your own, it's super hard to do. It's actually impossible because it's got to come with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has to do that. As you trust and depend just like you did when you got saved. You know, when you got saved, what you did was surrender your life to God. You're like, I can't do it. I totally have to depend on you. I'm surrendering. I'm giving up. And as you do that, He says, okay, now I can actually do something here. Now I can pick you up and do this in you because I know you can't do it. And that's the spiritual part of this wisdom and understanding we get as we know His will and He does it through us. Then He says, look at this next part. This is why. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I like that He chose the word walk there because He wasn't like, just so you could sit there and know it and think about it. He's like, so you can walk. You can literally do it. You're going to walk and like commit action. There's action involved in this. That is, you know God's will, get up and do it. If you know He wants you to love people, are you loving people? If you know He wants you to love Him well, are you loving Him well? Walk in a manner worthy, and look what it says there, of the Lord. The Lord, who's that? Christ? What is Christ worthy of? Everything? And I'm supposed to walk in a manner that's worthy of Christ Himself, in a manner that gives Him His full worth and value? How will I ever fill the shoes of Jesus? How will I ever be able to accomplish that? You're going to depend on the Spirit. That's what He just said, isn't it? And as you trust in Christ, you're able to walk this way. Romans 12 tells us that we're supposed to present our bodies as living sacrifices. We're literally living a life so that we can go, God, I'm a gift to You. Take me as a gift. Well, if you're going to give yourself to God as a gift, what kind of gift are you going to present to Him? How are you living? How are you making your gift? Are you living in a way that's worthy of Christ? So that as you present yourself and say, here I am, Jesus, He's going to look at you and be like, what? Or is He going to say, you've trusted Me to do this in you. My blood is all over you. My fingerprints are all over you. I can see you trust Me and you believe and I've worked in you. Or is He going to look at you and go, you've done this, tried to do this whole thing yourself. What a mess you made. Are you trusting in Christ? Are you loving Him? What kind of gift are you going to go, here I am? What will you be giving to God? Then it says this, fully pleasing to Him. Now that word fully is interesting, right? Because it doesn't mean just a little bit. It doesn't mean partially pleasing to God. Like on Wednesdays and Sundays, then I'm pleasing to Him, but the rest of the week I'm cool, like I can do what I want. Are you that guy or that girl that's like, yeah, you know, my friends see me in church and they think I like love Jesus and all this stuff, but then I go out and I do whatever I want with my other friends. He says fully. I don't know how you take that, but the way I take the word fully is that He wants all of me. The whole deal, not just on Wednesdays and Sundays. He wants every second of my life because He deserves it. The whole thing, He bought it, He died for it. It belongs to Him. His blood purchased you. All of you. And so He wants you to be fully pleasing to Him because you are all His. How are you living? Are you like, God, take all of it, take all of me, or are you holding stuff back? And then He says, bearing fruit. Remember we talked about that? Bearing fruit in every good work. We talked about this vine, right, and the branches and how Jesus is that vine, and we're the branch. And if we're really connected to the branch, what happens? Yeah, fruit pops out. It's kind of weird. It's like, ooh, I'm like popcorn. But you know what I'm saying, right? You're bearing fruit. And what is this fruit? A little orange comes out of my ear. That'd be weird. If I was going to grow something on my ear, it better be like pizza or something, at least good, you know, like fruit. But anyway, that's the point. I'm getting distracted. What's fruit? You guys remember?
Fruit of the Spirit.
Fruit of the Spirit's what? What is that? Yeah. We're going to start to look like Jesus. We're going to love people. We're going to be patient. We're going to be kind. We're going to have all these fruits that are going to pour out of us. So when people see us, they're like, dude, you act just like Jesus. Like there's something different about you. Like it's because He's in me. I'm connected to the vine. I'm part of Him. He is my Lord, and I try to be just like Him. And as you connect to Him and trust in Him, you start to look like Him. And so you're able to be fully pleasing to Him, because on your own you can't. All right? And you're bearing fruit in every good work, it says, not just in some, but in all of them. And look at how He ends this. He says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Like this thing's a cycle. The more you're like Him, the more you know Him. And the more you know Him, the more you can be like Him. And the more you're like Him, the more you know Him. And the more you know Him, the more you can be like Him. You see how that happens? It's like boop, 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 boop. It's just like this cycle that says, the more I experience Christ, the more I can be like Christ. Now here's a problem. Because most of us don't even experience Him. Our whole picture of Christianity is this thing where we just know about it and we listen to our pastor. And maybe we'll even read like a devotional or something. And then we stop and we close it and then we're good and we just go on with our day. And that's the extent of how we're living in community with God. That's it. That's the whole deal. And we're like, why am I so bored with my Christianity, Rob? Like, why am I bored out of my mind with this thing? Like, I'm just reading these old, like, what is going on? You're not experiencing Him. You're not living in community with God. You're not stepping out and saying, I'm going to trust You and I'm going to pray and watch You answer my prayer. I'm going to go through these hard times and trust You to comfort my heart. I'm going to watch Your fingerprints go all over my life as You interact with me and as I pray to You and as I live with You. And all of a sudden, when you see God start flexing His muscles in the way that He's living in your life and you can see Him all over your life, you're like, wow, that's how you are. Now I understand You. And you get this awesome, intimate knowledge of who He is. Because you're interacting with the God of the universe and you know it and you're so close because you see Him in your life. He's out of the pages of the Bible and real. Hard to be bored with that. Hard to be bored when you're best friends with the Creator of the universe. And He's all over your life. He's going to do it. That's how you increase in this intimate knowledge of God. Now, here's what most of us do though. Have you ever been to like a public pool that has like the really high board, like diving board? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? You guys are asleep over here. Yeah? Okay, good. Then you know what I'm talking about. Like when you guys do that life vest thing, if you guys are doing that, some of you will be asked to jump off the really high board. You don't have to say yes, but if you're fun at all, you'll jump off it. But that's not the point. So I went to one when I was younger, much younger, and I went with my buddies, and we were at this like public pool because it was like the cool thing to do back in the day. And so we're at this pool, and I'm like, I'm going to be the hot shot. Nobody would go off the highest board, so I'm like, of course I had to do it. So I get up there, you know, and I'm on the high board, and I'm thinking from the bottom, it don't look that bad, you know. I get up there though. And when something happens, like it grows when you're up, I don't know what happened, but I look down, I'm like, whoa, did I get on the right board here? Like, what is going on? And I'm looking down, this thing looks far. And I'm kind of got my toes over the edge, and I'm thinking like, you know, I probably shouldn't do this. But I'm already up here. And I already went, hey, everybody, look at me. You know, I'm like, watch me. I'm going to be like the stud of the day. And they're all like, ding. And I'm like, oh, no. So now if I get down, dude, that's like the walk of shame. You can't get down because the whole way down, they're like, you know, like whatever they do. They're just being mean. They're pointing and whatever. So I'm standing on the board thinking, I have to do this now. And this like realization of there's no turning back is like going through my mind. And I don't want to go off the side because I'm like, I know it's water, but that looks like some hard stinking water down there. It is far away. I know I'm going to splatter. And so I'm thinking, all right, I'll just do the 1, 2, 3. You know how you do that? You're like, if I actually wait and think about it, I won't go. But if I just go 3 and make myself go on 3, I'll go. So I'm thinking 1, 2, 3. I start to go and I push myself literally off the board. But halfway through my push, you know how that happens? Where you're like, No, I ain't doing it. I'm like, yeah, and it's like this awkward robot turtle thing, and I'm like, what am I doing? And so in my brain, I have this great idea that I'm going to be James Bond. I'm going to spin around, and I'm going to grab the board and not fall. Stupid idea. Don't ever do the cat move. So that's what I tried to do. So I jump off, miss the board. It doesn't miss me. It hits right here. Nails me. Almost knocks me out. It like scrapes off the side of my face. The next day, all like bruised. It was like purple. I'm bleeding. Well, here's the deal. It hit me. I don't even remember like hitting the water. All I remember the next thing is I'm being pulled out of the pool. And I feel like the ground's really, really cold and scratchy. And I'm like, I don't remember it being that cold and scratchy. And so as they pull me out, I realize not only did I almost get knocked out, not only am I bleeding and people all around me, I lost my shorts. Okay? The trajectory in which I hit the water, whoop, and I had no idea. They didn't know. They pull me out of the water and hello world. So I'm like, can you have a worse day? Can you have a worse day? Hey, everybody, watch me. Don't ever start anything with that, okay? No, that was bad. But here's the deal. As I'm standing up here on this thing, it would have been much better for me just to go, right? If I had just cleared the board, I might have belly flopped, I might have whatever. But at least I'm not going to nail that board. And I got hurt pretty bad from it. You know, it was a serious thing. But if I just hadn't tried to turn around and grab it on my own, I would have been okay. But as we live for Christ, as we try to live for Christ, sometimes we do that where we turn around and we try to grab on and say, let me take back control of this. I'm not popular enough at school. I need to take control of this and do what it takes to get popular. I need to get more friends. I need to make people love me. I need to find that special one for my life. And God, I'm going to take control of that for myself instead of trusting you to do it. And so we turn around and we try to grab that board and we get whacked. And we miss the whole point that Jesus is saying words like fully, every good work, worthy of the Lord. Like this is all of us sold out 100%. And God, I know that my life is going to do this and I'm going to mess up, but my aim will be to give you the whole thing. So when I jump off that board, I may belly flop. But I'm jumping. I'm jumping all of me. The whole thing's going in. That's what Paul's talking about here as he tells us, give it all to Christ. Trust completely in this will that you know is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others like yourself. And tell people this good news. And do it with everything in you and hold nothing back. Stop worrying about all the details. Trust God with His will. And let Him work the rest out. Then he goes on and he finishes with these verses. He says, verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. You know why His will is trustworthy? Because God is the most powerful being in all of creation. The one who made the stars and the molecules and you and me and everything else that exists is the very one promising us this. To say, if you just trust me, I'll take care of it. But why wouldn't I trust someone that much more powerful than me? Why do I think I need to keep turning around and grabbing onto this thing and running my own life? I'm pretty weak compared to an almighty, powerful creator God. But for some reason, I just can't put myself in His arms and trust Him. Paul's encouraging us to trust Him. He's reminding us of how powerful He is, that you can look at His will and you can trust that He will do what He promises. And this is why, look at the next part. For all endurance and patience with joy, so that even when you are going through the hardest moment of your life, when your heart is shattered into pieces and you're hurting and you just don't get it, even in those moments, he's saying you're able to do this. Give thanks to the Father. What? That seems so foreign to me. How can I thank you when my heart is broken? And that's exactly why, because you're able to trust that the will of God is more powerful than anything else. And that He really loves you enough to do what's best for you. When you grasp that, when this thing clicks and it comes into focus like we've been talking about, and you can see that about God and see His will and how it's good for you, you're able to, with joy, thank Him even in the hardest times. And this is why. It says, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember the first couple verses? He said that you have hope that is stored up in heaven. That no matter what comes your way, this is why you're able to be thankful and rejoice. Because you're looking at something much better that's on its way. You're looking at a God who's done these next couple things. Listen, He has delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God, I can trust you because you've already saved my life. And guess what? This whole life already belongs to you. You purchased it. You paid for it, all of it. And so I could trust you even in the hardest moments. I could say, God, your will is the best thing for me. Do you really believe that? Can you hear what Paul's saying here and actually believe? Can you trust the will of your God? I remember I was sitting in this dirty restaurant. It was one of those little cafe burger diner type places, you know. And they have like the window where they stick the ticket and they yell something. And then the cook comes up and like whatever, grabs it. And he looks all mean. And he goes back and cooks and slaps the food up on there. One of those places. It was in the middle of Virginia. Virginia. I can't even do that. Yeah. Some of you guys can do it really well. So anyway, I'm not going to hold it against you. So I'm sitting in one of these restaurants, and the waiter is standing, I'm in a table where the waiter's like standing right between me, and right behind the waiter I can see the window. And he's like telling me the specials of, oh, this is what we have, you're going to try this, try that. But I see through the window, and I see like back in the back where the cook is, and I see him back there, and he's doing his thing, and he's making food, and I'm just kind of watching him as the waiter's talking to me. And then all of a sudden I see him make something else. I see him make a little booger bomb. As he takes his finger and he just shoves it so far up his nose, I feel like he's just going to die in an instant because it's gone too far. And he's just digging away, and I'm just like, like, I didn't even know what to say. I don't know what to do, but I can't take my eyes off this chef who is just digging in the nose. And I'm looking, and I don't think he thought anyone could see him because he's like way back. But my table was perfect, and I could see him digging. And the waiter is still talking to me, and I'm just like not really listening because I can't stop looking at this phenomenon of this dude just like digging away at boogers. And I'm just like, I can't focus. But the most important thing right now is that dude doesn't touch my food ever, you know, because I don't want like tuberculosis from whatever he's getting out of there. And so I'm thinking, I don't want a booger. I want a burger. Okay, like you didn't hear me right. That's disgusting. So my focus. I couldn't stop just like focusing on this guy. So the second like the waiter left, I just like I snuck out of there. I didn't even eat there. But I still remember to this day watching the dude dig his booger and cook. So it was disgusting. Now here's the deal. I was focused on the most important thing, and it was hard to focus on anything else when that was happening. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Like you're trying to talk to somebody, but something else is going on and you just can't like stop like focusing over there. That was the deal. And as I read this passage, here's all this awesome stuff that Paul is telling us about. And then the very end, he's like, but listen, all of your focus, no matter what other details you don't know about, I want your focus to come back here. I want your focus to come back on Christ. And so I'm going to tell you this whole awesome passage about all these really cool things, but I'm going to bring you back to the most important thing. Where you should be able to stand and gaze at Christ and never look away because you're standing in awe of who He is. And so He ends by telling us the gospel. Reminding you, sinner, hopefully believer, that Jesus did this for you. Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for your sin. That you can never be perfect enough to ever please God, but Jesus, the Son of God, died for you. And as many times as you hear that, you should never, ever be bored of hearing it because it means the difference of life and death for eternity for you. It is your hope. It is the hope that you have that is stored up in heaven. It's all of it. So let your heart rejoice even in the hardest moments and give thanks for that because the will of God is perfect for you. And I hope we're clicking into focus tonight as we see exactly what God's will does for us. Will you pray with me? Father, sometimes we admit that we can be pretty confused about what we're supposed to be doing down here. The best way to do things. But I thank you, God, that you're not a God who makes us try to figure it out. You're a good God that tells us straight up what it is you want for us, what your will is, and it's that we love you and others, and that we're so generous with this good news that we know about our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave everything for us. And I pray that our hearts explode with joy over that news. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray.